Good morning. It's time for a fellowship to end, and it's time to come into service and for us to gather together and come into the fullness of who Christ is. Thank you. So if you're out in the courtyard, bring yourselves in here. Thank you. Now, I said that to say, no, I had to stop playing so much. In John chapter 4, it's a story about how Jesus meets the woman at the well. Now, in this story, I like to call it when you come to the well of your circumstances and Jesus meets you right there in your circumstances where he can tell you about yourself, because that's basically what he did to her. In the story, he told her, I'm just going to read right here. Jesus said to her, go and tell your husband and come here. He said, go tell your husband and come here. The woman said to him, you are right. Wait a minute. Jesus said to her, go tell your husband and come here. The woman answered him and said, no husband. Jesus said to her, good morning, sister. You are right saying it. And I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband. So when Jesus is telling us about our circumstances, it's not to condemn us. It's just to let you know that he is very much aware of your circumstances. And it's not your circumstances that he's trying you to have faith in. It's faith in him. So the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshiped on this mountain, but you said in Jerusalem, in the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. When he comes, he will tell us all things. He's telling her something right now. Jesus said to her, who you speak to, I am him. Just as the disciples came back, they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? They were wondering, why was Jesus talking to this crazy woman? I mean, not crazy, but she had, they figured, you know, when people look and they think you're so sinful, why are you talking to this person? Why are you engaging with this person? But how can we show them Christ if we stuck on their situation? We need not to be stuck on individual situation and mainly stuck on how we could show them Christ. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people. Now this woman is excited. Now this is where it's several stories in the Bible where I just get so excited, because Jesus revealed who he was and the woman perceived who he was. She went away, left her water jar into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?
Thank you.
Jesus. They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. The disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his works." And that's what we need to do, the will of who we confess. We confess that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we need to do that as far as works. Do you not say, "There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. So the sower can reap, many rejoice together, for here the saying holds true. One sows, another reaps." And this one kind of hit personal for me because there was a lot of slavery back in the day, and they sold a lot, and we became free. So when we still in the bondage of darkness, how can we still be in darkness? And sometimes when I say the darkness, you enslaved to drugs, you enslaved to alcohol, you enslaved to pornography, you enslaved to so many things that the Father has delivered you from. Let's not be enslaved to sin. Let's walk in the ways that Christ has called us to walk in. "I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor." And Christ sowed so much. He bore all our sickness, all our diseases. What was missing from all? Nothing. So why do we take and say, "No, my situation is this, my situation is that"? No, it doesn't matter what your situation is. It matters who Christ is. I'm standing here talking to you right now, and I'm in so much pain, but y'all didn't know it until I told you. But anyway, Christ is so good. He's better than our circumstances. My circumstances don't determine who I am as a believer. But down here it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I have ever did. They believe. What's your testimony? Do people believe Jesus because of your testimony? What are you doing? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise and honor. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you, Father God, pour your spirit into our worship, Lord. We welcome you into the presence, Lord. Receive, Lord, anything that's a stronghold that's keeping us from engaging in worship, Lord. We come against it right now. We pray, Lord, for the liberty to worship you in spirit and in truth. You said if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you shall direct our path. Direct our worship, Lord. Let our worship be to worship you and not our situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just want to make sure everybody has. When we do... We take communion every Sunday here. I seem to remember a verse that said, "As often as you do these things." Okay, I know a lot of church traditions, they do it periodically, but we do it, we try to do it often here. And I just want to make sure everybody had this for our partaking of the Lord's Supper together. I want to welcome everybody who's here, who came yesterday to our backpack outreach. You are welcomed here. And those of you who are veterans, if you see an unfamiliar face, please go up and welcome them when we let the kids go out for Sunday school. Jesus is here for those of you who are visiting, and so is the community of God. Scott Grosjean has said this, and I quote him frequently, but to be in Christ means to be in the church in community. Being in Christ with him is being with each other as well. And that kind of leads into my Lord's Supper's message. I'm going to Romans 5. You know, I've addressed the first five verses here. in Romans 5, probably the last few times I've done the Lord's Supper. I shared it at the men's meeting a week ago, and I want to share it again just briefly as we prepare to partake of the Lord's body and blood. So Romans 5, and as we've said before, in these five verses, Paul just throws together just about everything we have in Christ. He says, starts out Romans 5:1, having therefore been justified by faith. We've got justification, we've got faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the shalom, the peace, the desire of the Lord that all of us achieves wholeness. Through whom we have this access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Access to the Lord, grace. I mean, Paul's covering it all here. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We've got hope. We've got another message about hope, Grosstein. All right. We stand and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We've got hope. We've got the glory of God. And he says, and not only this, but also we boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering works out perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. We've got suffering. We've got perseverance. We've got character. And hope does not put us to shame because, and here's the final point, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given as a free gift to us. All of these things, we got love and we've got the Holy Spirit, free gifts of God, free gifts of God. Just the Lord has given us everything in Christ. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to say, one day I'm going to get this. You actually have this as a gift. Do you understand? Even when you feel hopeless, you have the gift of hope in you from God. It's okay to feel hopeless sometimes. We do feel hopeless. When we feel hopeless, we find ourselves located in a community of hope. That's the power of community. Do I have everything I need in Jesus? Yes, but I still need the community of God's people because everything I have in Jesus isn't always working, isn't always activated, isn't always completely manifest in our lives. And that's just that's on us and that's on others who wittingly or unwittingly distract us away from who we are in Christ, who he is, and what he has given us. But the beauty of everything being a gift is that even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. He's there in us. These things have been given to us. I have all the faith I need. I have all the hope I need. And I have all the love of God that I need because it's a gift. If somebody gifts me with an envelope and they put it on my table and there's $1,000 in it and I go out and I'm frustrated and angry and hurt and upset and you know just living life the way it is, walking through all the, you know, I mean we could say walking through all the bleep, but you know when Jesus told us to wash each other's feet, when Jesus at the Last Supper washed the feet of his disciples. The reason you wash the feet, and Jesus said, you're clean, everything except your feet, because they were walking through it, guys, okay? All kind of animal bleep that just littered the streets of the city, okay? You walk through it, you get it on you. But Jesus is saying that envelope with $1,000, it's still in your house just because you're going through a tough time. And oh, by the way, and if for whatever reason you can't access that, your brothers and sisters who also have the gift of hope, the gift of faith, the gift of love, the gift of grace, the gift of the Holy Spirit will wash your feet and release the hope that is the possession not only of individuals, but the possession of the community of the faithful. I mean, I know this is an hour where people, rightly so, are very frustrated with the church because the church, you know, biblically speaking, I don't have any problems with the church. I shouldn't have problems with the church. The church isn't the issue. They're human beings in the church. And as long as they're human beings, wherever there are human beings, there's going to be problems. People in the church can be hypocrites. People in the church can hurt you. People in the church can be the complete opposite of what the Lord Jesus is. But that doesn't change that the church, it's a community, and every gift that's listed on here, Romans 5, 1 through 5, that we have been given individually, also are part of the church. The church possesses those things. The church is an apostolic church. You don't have to have an apostle in the church for the church to be apostolic, because the Lord fills it up with the apostolic gift. You don't have to be a prophet to be in the church, for the church to be prophetic, because the Lord pours the prophetic gift into the church. You don't have to have teachers in the church, because the Lord pours out the teaching gift into the church. We are a receptacle of all of these things, and that's why to be in Christ is to be in the community of God's people. When 2 Corinthians 5 says, the Lord has reconciled us to himself. The Lord was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Lord is in the church working out reconciliation between people. When Scripture says that, then Paul continues, so therefore he's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And I urge you, I exhort you, be reconciled to Christ. Do you know where you find reconciliation to Christ? In the church. Because while God reconciles us to himself, he proves that he is a true reconciling God by reconciling us to each other. And as Pastor Anthony shared so well with us a couple weeks ago, the Lord positions the church at the gates of hell. He positions us in, he puts us into darkness. He puts us into to demonic places, dangerous places. And there he says, I will build my church at the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because the Holy Spirit is in our midst. All these gifts are in our midst. I know when we think gifts of the Spirit, we tend to think of the gifting of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gifts of prophecy, all those things. And they're there. They're here in this church. They're here in the body of Christ. But the gifts that Paul describes here, the gifts of faith, the gifts of hope, the gifts of love, those are the things that really form us, shape us, mold us, and sustain us. And they exist in this place. So whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating that we have been justified with Christ, and he gives us faith, he gives us peace, he gives us access to his person, he gives us grace, he gives us hope, he gives us his glory, he gives us the ability to persevere through difficult times, and he pours his love out into our heart by the power of the Spirit. And so we're always reminded, this is why we partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus often, because we want to be reminded, his broken body strengthens us. His poured out blood forgives us. His power is at work always in our midst to bring us into the wholeness, into the shalom, into the peace of the Lord. So Lord, we rejoice in your body and blood, your body broken for us, Lord. We partake now, and we are reminded that we are empowered by this broken body, which the Father raised up, and which the Spirit takes all the benefits of everything that Jesus does and gives us a lot of gifts. In Jesus' name we partake. Ultimately, we celebrate the Lord's Supper for reasons such as Romans 5 or 2 Corinthians 5 state, our God is a gift-giving God. He loves to give things away. He loves to give blessings away. And so we rejoice as we partake of the blood of his son. The greatest gift that God ever gave us was his son. He gave us his son, and his son, the idea of a body being broken and blood being poured out, it's the images that God gave his all for us. Jesus gave his all for us. And it's to show, it's to put a human face on God and to show that he gives his all for us. I often exhort people when they say, what's perseverance? It means never quit. You never quit. As long as Jesus is your Lord, you never quit. But what I really should say is the body and blood shows that God never quits. He never quits on his creation. And we are grateful for that. And so we partake of the blood of reconciliation in Jesus' name. Amen.